You're listening to a message from Gateway Church Geelong. We hope it blesses you. For more information about Gateway, visit gc.org.au.
A few weeks ago, I spoke about the spiritual gifts from 1 Corinthians 12, non-spiritual gifts, and the fact that each one of us have at least one of them. Some of you may have two. And those gifts were fall into three groups, as we see on the screen. The eyes of God to see. God has set people in this church to operate in the eyes of God. Then the mouth of God. God has put in this church people that can speak on behalf to the church. The mouth of God to speak. The hand of God to do. And let me say this, that you are so vital in the life of this church. We need you. We need you to operate in the giftings that God has given you. The Apostle Paul said in 1 Corinthians 12, 1, he starts off his explanation about the gifts of the Spirit by saying, I would not have you ignorant. In other words, he's saying, listen, I don't want you to be unaware of these things. I want you to know what these gifts are. I want you to know how to operate them. I don't want you to ignore them. He wants us to know what those gifts are. And he doesn't want us to ignore them. But learn to operate in the gifts that God has given us. But this morning I want to talk about the seven motivational gifts that we read in Romans 12. And why are they called motivational gifts? Because they motivate you to be a blessing to the church. Because these gifts that God has built in us and made part of us to be used for the benefit of others and for His glory. When you operate in the gifts of the Spirit, it brings Him glory. He's saying, there's my son, there's my daughter, doing what I've wanted them to do. And so these gifts motivate us to be doers in God's kingdom, the church. You know, when we look at these seven motivational gifts in a moment, unsaved people have these gifts as well, except probably prophecy. The unsaved have these very gifts that God has given to the church. The difference is you have the anointing. They may have the gifts to operate in their field of expertise. But you and I have got the ability and the anointing of the Holy Spirit to bring glory to God and benefit His church. But before I speak about the motivational gifts, I want to read, it's a long passage, but you know, sometimes Scripture explains itself. I want to read Scripture, what Paul actually says about you. And I want you to take note what he says. Very, very crucial. And this is from Romans 12, verses 4 and 5. It says, In the human body, there are many parts and organs. Aren't you glad of that? Each with a unique function. And so it is in the body of Christ. For though we are many, we're all being mingled into one body in Christ. This means that we all are vitally joined together, with each contributing to the others. And then he continues on in 1 Corinthians 12. He says, in fact, the human body is not one single part, but many parts, mingled into one. So if the foot were to say, since I'm not the hand, I am not part of the body, it's forgetting that it's still a vital part of the body. And if the ear were to say, since I'm not the eye, I'm not really a part of the body, it's forgetting that it's still an important part of the body. Think of it this way. If the whole body was just an eyeball, can you imagine that? That would be weird. How could it hear sounds And if the whole body were just an ear, how could it smell different fragrances? But God has carefully designed each member and placed it in the body to function as He desires. A diversity is required. And so if the body consisted of one single part, there wouldn't be a body at all. So now we see that there are many different parts and functions, but one body. It would be wrong for the eye to say to the hand, I don't need you. And equally wrong if the head says to the foot, I don't need you. In fact, the weaker, listen to this, the weaker our parts, the more vital and essential they are. The body parts we think are less honorable, we treat with greater respect. And the body parts that need to be covered in public, we treat with propriety and clothe them. But some of our body parts don't require as much attention. Instead, God has mingled the body parts together, giving greater honor to the lesser members who lacked it. He has done this intentionally so that every member would look after the others with mutual concern. And so there would be no divisions in the body. In that way, whatever happens to one member happens to all. If one suffers, everyone suffers. If one is honored, everyone is happy, rejoices. Then he continues on. This is so important to Paul that he wants us to know. In Ephesians 4:16, it says, for his body, that's us, Christ's body, that's us, has been formed in his image and is closely joined together and constantly connected as one. And every member has been given divine gifts to contribute to the growth of all. And as these gifts operate effectively throughout the body, the whole body, we are built up and made perfect in love. When the world can say, I can see they love one another, we know the body is functioning as God intended to. 1 Peter 4:10, Peter gets into the act. He says, every believer has received a grace gift. Every believer has received a grace gift. So use them. Don't put them on the shelf. Use them to serve one another as faithful servants of the many-colored tapestry of God's grace. What Paul is saying here, listen, you're vital. You're extremely vital. The success, strength, and growth of this church depends on whether we take up our gift and function in our gift. And God has clearly shown us that we have spiritual gifts in 1 Corinthians 12 and we have motivational gifts from Romans chapter 12. We all have a part to play for the church to grow in maturity and into the stature of the fullness of Christ. And that's why it's important for us church to know the gifts, how they operate. Don't ignore them. Don't be ignorant of them. You know, just imagine a person got no toes. Either got chopped off or born without toes. Come on, you medical people. What happens? Brings imbalance. Your toes are there. Those big toes of yours. You need to cut some of you need to cut your nails. But those big toes of yours are there to bring balance. If you're a toe in this church, it helps to bring balance to this church. We need you, big toes. Don't hide it under the table. You know, I can't imagine what it's like not having a limb or limbs. Must be horrible. No eyes, you know, or blind in my eyes or deaf. I can't imagine those sort of things. But It's amazing what some people can do without hands. I was watching this 4-year-old girl. She gets a spoon with her feet, no arms, and starts feeding herself. Unbelievable. Then she puts it down. Then she, with her foot, she gets a toothbrush and I can't even bring my feet up much at all. And here she is cleaning her teeth. Amazing. But there are still limitations. Aren't you glad we're not all feet? Even though they can do these things, they're still limited in so many things. And so what Paul is saying here is this, that when you and I play our part, the church stays healthy, grows healthy, and becomes such an effective tool for the glory of God. It starts to influence the world by what happens in the life of the church. So let's look at the motivational gifts that Paul speaks about. Romans 12. Verse 8 it says, just as our bodies have many parts and each part has a special function, so it is with Christ's body. Remember, Christ's body. We are many parts of one body and we all belong to one another. Isn't that amazing? We all belong to one another. Listen, we're going to be spending an eternity with them. So we might as well start on earth. We all belong to one another. You might have your house right next to mine. So start loving me now. In His grace, God has given us different gifts for doing certain things well. So if God has given you the ability to prophesy, speak out with as much faith as God has given you. If your gift is serving others, serve them well. If you're a teacher, teach well. If your gift is to encourage others, be encouraging. If it is giving, give generously. If God has given you leadership abilities, take the responsibility seriously. And if you have the gift of showing kindness or mercy to others, do it gladly. Do it cheerfully. Let's look at the word prophecy. Look at the first one, prophecy. Motivational gift of prophecy. In verse 6, it says, if God has given you the ability to prophesy, speak out with as much faith as God has given. In other words, grow in faith. Grow in this ability. Learn to grow in this ability. Find out people that have gone before and say, okay, how do you receive a word from God? I want to learn. Iron sharpens iron. Learn from one another. In 1 Corinthians 14:3, the Apostle Paul says, but when someone prophesies, he speaks to encourage people. Notice that? To build them up and to bring them comfort. Again, Paul says in 1 Corinthians 14:31, for you can all prophesy one by one, that all may learn and all may be encouraged. That's a good place to do that in connect groups. And that's how much importance the Apostle Paul puts on this incredible gift of prophecy. And I believe God wants us to put the same importance that the Apostle Paul put on it. You see, the Bible says in the last days, who believes we're in the last days? I believe we are. It says prophecy will increase. The Apostle Peter, on the day of Pentecost, he quoted from the prophecy that was given by Joel in Joel chapter 2. And this is what the Apostle Peter said. He said in Acts chapter 2, verse 17 to 18, this is what I will do in the last days. This is God saying this. I will pour out my spirit on everybody, and cause your sons and daughters to prophesy. Come on, sons and daughters. It's a promise given to you. And your young men shall see visions. Have you seen visions yet, Tim? Where are you, Tim? There you go. Not just of Ozzy. Sorry, mate. Fire. And you, here's a good one. Your old men shall dream dreams. You know, I said to Graham in the prayer meeting, I said, dreams are the language of the end times. Come on, you older people. I'm not there yet, but tell me when I get there. Come on, old people, dream. Start dreaming what God wants to do in your life and what God wants to do in the life of the church so that we can be an incredible help and support to the leadership of this church and see this church and be part of it in Jesus' name. I just got a little side thought. When Jesus said to the disciples, he said, I want you to go into Jerusalem and get the colt, a donkey, young foal of a donkey, and bring it because the master needs it. And if you look at the passage, I think it's in John, it says that the mother of the foal came with it. So the older generation works together with the younger generation. We're working together, older people. We're working together with the younger generation. We're there to cheer them on and say, hey, you can do it. In 1 Corinthians 14:39, Paul says, be passionate to prophesy. Be passionate. And don't forbid anyone from speaking in tongues. You know, Naomi must have known that she probably knew that my lights would be on at 1 o'clock in the morning on a Sunday morning. And she rang last night and she said she met this girl who's now in her 30s. When Naomi was over there when she was age 19, she prophesied over this young girl. It's not the pastor that she's working with at this present time, but there's another girl in the group. And this girl was 8 years old. And Naomi said to her, you're going to be in the ministry. When you grow up, you're going to be a pastor in the ministry. And she met her for the first time yesterday. And she said, I'm the one that you prophesied over to say that I'm going to be in the ministry. Prophecy. And Naomi was blown away. Absolutely blown away. The prophecy. She totally forgot about it, but this girl hadn't. But then we have a second motivational gift, and this is a very interesting one. It's called the motivational gift of serving. And I have learned to serve me this week. Oh, I tell you, I need a drink. My wife is having a ball of a time in India. And she put some food for me. She put pies in the freezer. Other foods. And there was a lovely person came and gave me some food. Thought, oh, listen, I better look after this guy. He needs it. And I've been cleaning. I've been putting the dishes in the dishwasher. The place looks sparkling clean. The only thing I hadn't done yet is make my bed. But that's okay. I'm single right now. For all you single ones. Serving gifts are vital. They're the doers. They just see things and just go and do it. I remember when we had an aisle here. We did have an aisle here once. And I deliberately, you've heard this, some of you heard this, I deliberately put paper on the floor. And so I waited to see as people came into the church. A couple made their way, and this is where we normally sit, you know. We'll sit over here. And then another person came in, and another couple of others came in. Then one guy came in. He noticed the paper. He picked it up. Picked it up. Wasn't told to do it. That's a person with a heart to serve. Serving spirit. You know, in Acts, the church was expanding and growing. You find this in Acts chapter 6. There's a problem with food distribution. The Greek-speaking Jews weren't getting their rations. So they complained to the disciples. The disciples said, hey, listen, we need to do something about it. And this is what they said. And so, brothers, select seven men who are well respected and full of the spirit and wisdom. We will give them this responsibility. Notice the criteria for this position. Then verse 8, it says, Stephen, a man full of God's grace and power, performed amazing miracles and signs among the people. Stephen's credentials. Credentials to serve. They had to be full of the Holy Spirit, full of power, to serve. Listen, don't belittle this ministry. It's an incredible, powerful ministry in the life of this church. You know, we have some practical people in this church. This stage was built by a man with an incredible practical gift. Thanks, Sam. Serving gift in the life of this church are so vital. So vital. They don't say, oh, I'll wait for the pastor to ask me. They just say, hey, listen, there's a need. There's a need. I'm going to fill that need. Then we have the motivational gift of teaching. One who loves to research and communicate truth. This is the teacher. They clarify truth, validate information. And the teacher is wired up by God to go to the word first. Hey, okay, what's the word say? They word focused. Back in the church in Adelaide I was in charge of a new Christians department. And often we would do new Christians classes with a 13 weeks course. And often we would get professional teachers that was their profession. They go to school and teach at school. And the Holy Spirit said to me, I want you to tell these people that it's great that you are utilizing your professionalism, your ability to teach new Christians. But never ever forget the fact that we're not here to give head knowledge, but to give heart knowledge. And the only way you can impart to the spirit of man or woman is the anointing of the Holy Spirit. I said, don't rely on your practical or your professional ability. Constantly rely on the Holy Spirit to help you to minister the word of God. So it doesn't just fill their heads, it touches their hearts. And we had some great, great, great teachers. You know, the Apollos in the book of Acts, in Acts 18, he was a mighty, mighty man of God. And I want to read from Acts 18 some of the descriptions that the Passion Translation puts on this man. He said he was powerful in scriptures. That's a teacher. Passionate about Jesus, a teacher. A convincing teacher. He was fearless. He was teachable. He only knew the baptism of John. So Aquilas and Priscilla said, hey, listen, we've gone on from there. It's the baptism. It's water baptism in the name of the Father, Son, and the Holy Spirit. And so he was baptized and then he was able to teach. But he is powerful in Scripture. He was a tremendous help to the believers and caused them to increase in their faith. He was fervent in spirit. This is the characteristic of a teacher. And this gift benefits the church. But it also benefits connect groups. If you have a teaching gift, you can be a benefit and a blessing to connect groups. You can be a blessing to the Friday night youth programs. And you can be a blessing to the Sunday morning children's church. Just check with oversight to say, listen, I feel we need people in this position. You love Scripture. You love the Word. You love to impart the Word. A great place to start is the children's church. Fourth motivational gift is the gift of encouragement. The characteristics of encouragement, they love people and they're very relational. They inspire people to come out of themselves. They relate well to strangers, often make excellent evangelists. Encourage, they're excellent communicators and good at resolving conflicts. They're diligent, full of love, faith and good works. Joseph, he was a great encourager. Joseph came from Crete, island of Crete, came to Jerusalem, connected with the disciples there, and they renamed him. They gave him a nickname. They said, listen, you're Barnabas. And Barnabas means son of encouragement. In Aramaic, it means son of prophecy. And so Barnabas, hey, listen, you're amazing. You're amazing character. And so work started at Antioch, many miles away. The disciples said, listen, we need to send someone there to oversight the work. There's new Christians, people getting saved and so on. And the Bible says, hey, listen, let's send Barnabas. We need to send an encourager. We need an encourager to go and to oversight the new work in Antioch. And so they sent Barnabas. And this is what it said about Barnabas. He witnessed the grace of God. What does that mean? He didn't look to see if they were still smoking, drinking, doing whatever. He witnessed what God had started in the life of that new Christian, and he built on what God had started. You can say amen to that. Barnabas. Then the fifth one, motivational gift of giving. This is incredible. And it says to give generously. And again, Barnabas falls into this picture. In Acts chapter 4, verses 36, for instance, there was Joseph, the son of the apostle's nicknamed Barnabas, which means son of encouragement. He was from the tribe of Levi and came from the island of Cyprus. He sold a field he owned and brought the money at the apostles' feet. And he said, hey, listen, I've sold this land in Cyprus, and look, I just want to give this land. Unbelievable. What an amazing man. He gave. You know, Paul wrote to the church at Corinth. He said, hey, listen, church. He said, I've been to the churches in Macedonia, and they've blown me away with their giving. They're unbelievable givers. And this is what he said to them. This is in 2 Corinthians 8, verse 1. He says, now I want you to know, dear brothers and sisters, that what God in his kindness has done through the churches in Macedonia, they have been tested by many troubles, and they are very poor, but they are also filled with abundant joy, which has overflowed in rich generosity. For I can testify that they gave not only what they could afford, but far more. And they did it of their own free will. They begged us again and again, Pastor Lee, here, please, take it, take it, take it. I don't think you'll hear Pastor Lee say, stop. Take it for the privilege of sharing in the gift of the believers in Jerusalem. They even did more than we had hoped. For their first action was to give themselves to the Lord and to us, just as God wanted them to do. We give ourselves to you, God, and we give ourselves the leadership oversight. And Father, I just give to the life of the church. Verse 6 is, so we urge Titus, who encouraged you to give in the first place, to return to you and encourage you to finish this ministry of giving. Since you excel in so many ways in your faith, your gifted teachers, speakers, your knowledge, your enthusiasm, and your love for us, I want you to excel also in this gracious gift of giving. I am not commanding you to do this. Pastor Lee's often said that. But I am testing your genuine how genuine your love is by comparing it with the eagerness of the other churches. Isn't that amazing? Amazing. You know, Glennis told me the other day, India, she said, oh, just after the service, a lady came up to me and put something in her hand, and I dropped it. I said, what was it? It was money. I said, she was trying to give you. She was generous. Did you pick it up? She said, yeah. So there you go. You know, King David in the Old Testament, amazing, amazing man. In 1 Chronicles 21, the incredible generosity he gave to the house, God's house. He says, now, because of my devotion to the my devotion to the temple of God, of my God, I am giving all of my own private treasures of gold and silver to help in the construction. Then he went on to say in verse 5, now then, who will follow my example and give offerings to the Lord today? Then the family leaders, the leaders of the tribes of Israel, the generals and captains of the army and the king's administrative officers all gave willingly. The people rejoiced over the offering, for they had given freely and wholeheartedly to the Lord, and King David was filled with joy. Notice the different people that gave. David gave first, then the family leaders and the family leaders of the tribes, then the generals and captains and the administrative staff, and then the people joined in. The whole congregation said, listen, we want to give. And David finished up by saying in verse 17, I have watched your people offer their gifts willingly and joyfully. What a challenge. You know, I know people in this church have got this gift. Tremendous gift that God has given you. And givers love to give and want to see the work of God go forward and succeed. And this gift is not limited to people that have lots of money. I've got a friend in Adelaide. He was in a tremendous gift. He didn't have a good job, ordinary job, but he loved to give. He was a giver in God's house. And he would constantly give to the house of God, not only of his finance, but also his talents. He just loved to give. And I told him, I said, I'm going to be mentioning you this morning. These people are people of faith. Givers have no problems with tithing, and they will sacrifice their all. They know the value of things that wealth comes from God. You know, I went out to lunch with this lady once, an elderly lady. And after lunch, she slipped a paper to me, and on it was a check for $40,000. I said, that's God. Then another couple that built a house at Ocean Grove, beautiful two-story house, amazing house. They sold it. They were going to interstate, going to Queensland. They sold it. They wrote out a check for $60,000. So we were able to pay that five-acre block off. It's freehold. And I think we can pay this house off quicker than we thought. Within 2 years, we pay that place, that property. These had the gift of giving. The number six, the gift of leadership. It says, do it with diligence. People with this gift are usually people of vision who can see the overall picture and have long-range goals and so on. And just for time's sake, Nehemiah, he was a great example. He was exiled in Babylon. He was a cupbearer. He would pour out wine for the king. And one day he came with a sad face. And you don't normally come before a king with a sad face in those days. Otherwise, your head's taken off and it's even worse. Anyway, the king obviously liked this guy, and he said to Nehemiah, what's wrong? What's happening? He said, well, this is what's happening in my country. The walls have been knocked down. The city needs to be rebuilt. And so the king sent him over there. And I'm sure he never realized the fact that latent within him was leadership abilities. But when he got started with that wall, he got the people motivated. In spite of opposition, in spite of setbacks, he continued on to build that wall and see it through. And the last one, the gift of mercy, showing kindness. You know, these people love broken people. They show them God's love. They identify with them in their distress, comforting them, being strong in empathy. They are safe people to be with. They draw others to themselves. Compassion motivates them to action. Weep with those who weep. In the Gospel of Luke, we heard, it wasn't in the prayer meeting. But the parable of the Good Samaritan, that's a great illustration of compassion. This person with a mercy spirit. You know, ever since I've been here, since 1999, this one person stood out in this church with this mercy spirit, and it's Margaret Shell. Unbelievable. There's things that you don't know what she does. That mercy spirit just reaches out. I say, let him go, not her. Mercy spirit always reaches out. And so we honor you for that, Mark. Finish with this. What impact does gifts have on your life and my life? I believe it's a powerful impact. Paul tells us in 1 Corinthians 1:8, I thank my God always concerning you for the grace of God which was given to you by Christ Jesus, that you were enriched in everything by him in all utterance and all knowledge, even as the testimony of Christ was confirmed in you, so that you come short in no gift, eagerly waiting for the revelation of the Lord Jesus Christ. Then verse 8, who will also confirm to you the end, to the end, that you may be blameless in the day of Jesus Christ. Three words I want to look at. Confirm, the end, and blameless. See, these words are vital to understanding the long-term effect of the gifts of the Holy Spirit in the life of you and I. The word confirm means to stand firm, means to be stable, durable, or unshakable. It's a picture of someone standing firm on their feet. And so this word tells us that the gifts make us firm, stable. The second word is the word end. It doesn't mean the end of the age. It means to become fully mature and ripened to the end. Your gifts will make you fully mature and ripen to the end. They are intended to bring us to a higher realm of spiritual maturity. The Apostle Paul means that there is actually an entire dimension of spiritual maturity that cannot be achieved without the operation of the gifts of the Spirit in your life. Spiritual gifts help you to develop your spiritual maturity. And the third word is blameless. It means holiness and personal integrity. And if you combine these words together, you can paraphrase this verse like this. These gifts make you fit, firm, and unshakable. They put you on your feet spiritually and lead you into new levels of maturity. Ultimately, these gifts will work to produce an unpeachable, trustworthy character in you. And Peter finishes up by saying to us this morning, in 1 Peter 4:10, God has given each one of you a gift. From his variety of spiritual gifts, use them to serve others. Every single person here has a gift. Don't wait for the perfect moment. It'll never come. Discover them, use them. Be a blessing to the church and an honor and a blessing to God and his glory. We're going to see a video about a girl. It was in Romania. It was called the Romania's Got Talent. This girl, no arms, plays the piano and sings. I want you to listen to this. That's it. Oh. That's it? Is it? Oh, I see. Okay.
You can actually Google that. But it's an amazing, amazing person. The reason why I put that on, I wanted to show that, is because if one girl with no arms can use her gifts and talents and yet still have limitations, how much more God's church, with all the gifts and talents the Holy Spirit longs to bring into the life of the church. We talk about the pop-up services. That's a great place to start to exercise the gifts that God has given you. And those seven motivational gifts. But before I hand it back to Pastor Lee, God spoke to me This is what he said to me last night. And if this resonates in your spirit, then please take it to heart and respond to it. He said to me very clearly that he wants to tenderize your heart. He wants you to make your heart softer. He wants to tenderize your heart. To move on your heart. Some of you are sensing the God's presence right now. He wants to send fresh fire into your hearts. He wants you this morning to have a fresh encounter with Him. The second thing He said to me was that the door has been opened in heaven for you. And all I got when the Holy Spirit dropped that into my heart was access, access, access. He wants you to access the things that you've been longing for. Access the things that were promised to you. He wants to remind you this morning that He has given you an open door. And another passage is an open door that no man can shut. He's given you this. Is Ash still Ash here today? Is she here? Ash? Chornish Church. Okay, I've got a word for you too. And if God is been speaking to you on those lines, you know, to motivate, to move in the gifts of the Spirit, you've got to have a tender heart. You've got to realize the door is open to you. You do have access. I want you to all stand for a moment. And I just want to say what the Holy Spirit spoke into my life. He said, if that has resonated in your spirit, I just want you to come forward. Don't necessarily have hands laid on you, but just come forward. God, I'm going to acknowledge the fact that that spoke to my heart. Some of you are feeling the presence of God on you right now. Just make your way forward. Just get out of your seat and make your way forward. Access. He wants to tenderize your heart. Walk softly before me. Have a heart that is tender and soft before God. What the Lord said to me, Ash, was the devil had been saying to you, you've been put on the back burner. And God said, that's been a lie. The enemy has tried to make you feel that you've been on the back burner. But God has said to you, and I'll just read what the Holy Spirit put in my heart. He said, no more delays. No more delays. Only you know what that means. He said, no more delays. You're not on the back burner. God never put you on the back burner. The devil made you feel that you're on the back burner. He says, no more delays. Does anyone else want to come forward? Just feel free. You've been touched of God. You sense the presence of God. Just come forward. Just soak in His presence. Just before I hand it back to Lee, Pastor Lee, you just raise your hands. Just receive from God right now. Speak to my heart. Change my life in Jesus' name. Those that came forward, God, tenderize my heart. That's it. You've given me access now. You've opened the door for me. I now access what you purpose and plan for my life. Things I didn't realize, things I didn't know. I now access those things. You know what they are in your heart, some things in your heart. Those prophetic words that were made over my life, I haven't seen come to pass, but God, I receive that now. I access those things. By faith, Father, I access those things. Jesus.